Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning. It's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Hope you're very well this Sunday morning. Steve Edge is here.
Good morning. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm all right, yeah.
You're all right, getting on with things.
I'm all right, yeah.
I'm going. That'll get you started, won't it? I've just been trying to log into Facebook this morning on my computer, which I never use. And it was like two-factor authentication, like sending in a code to something. You've got to download a separate authenticator app. Every time I forget a password or I log into something I've not logged in for a while, it makes me think, how on earth are people, other people who are not you, still getting into people's accounts?
Yeah, when you can't get in.
When I can't even get in. Yeah.
You're armed with some of the information, mother's maiden name.
I know all the info. This. Yeah.
Yeah. First school you went to. Know all this.
Yeah.
I mean, you could find this, but you know it.
Yeah, exactly. I know the information. Yeah, if you've read someone's autobiography, you can pretty much...
Yeah, should, with questions like that, mother's maiden name, should give you 5 seconds to answer.
Yeah.
And then the computer just goes, boom, closes down.
Yeah.
I like you know a that random, away or you don't.
Yeah. I like a random, like, security question.
Yeah, favourite Duran Duran song.
Something like that. Yeah, you know, they just come up with...
Wild Boys, just, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Also, it depends how you feel at the time sometimes, doesn't it? I've had that where it's gone, name your favourite teacher from primary school. And you think, it's that one. And then the next time it asks you, you think, actually, I don't know which one it is now. It could be one or two.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a couple. There were quite nice ones, yeah.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? What are you wearing? I think that's an inappropriate one, isn't it?
I'm not sure that's two-factor authentication. I think that's somebody who's just slid into your DMs. What are you wearing?
Yeah. Yeah, I do, but everything else you can pretty much. I think you know what they should say. I'll tell you what would be a good one.
What?
What's your favourite security question?
Oh yeah, that'd be a good one. Yeah,
that'd be a good security question.
Would you say this one? This one.
This one.
The last one.
Yeah, because mother's made a name, like street where you grew up.
Yeah,
all that. It's all findable.
Yeah, it's quite easy, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, if you know somebody, you know, if you went to school with someone years ago, you might, they were mates when you were 11. You might know their mum's maiden name, what street they grew up on, what school they went to.
All the info. Yeah, exactly, all the info. But now, when I ring my bank, this is quite scary, right? When I ring my bank, they hardly bother now because you've voice recognition.
Oh, that's good. What, so they know it's your voice?
So the computer, they just get a little tick on their screen saying that's Jason Manford, but scary that though, isn't it?
So it's like Shazam for voices?
But for voices, yeah. I must have obviously like agreed to it at some point, but I do a radio show, a podcast, like you could play it down the phone to my bank.
No, but also you could get all the shows together and you could edit Mike named Jason. I'd like to check my current account, please. You get enough in there.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm Jeremy Vine. I want to withdraw £1 million. I could try that.
What if you were just a really good impressionist? Yeah.
Yeah. If you were AI, does it go beyond that? I don't know. It depends how good you are, doesn't it, really?
Terrifying. Terrifying the world. Terrifying the world we live in.
This is
Jason Manford.
This is
Absolute Radio.
Music matters.
We've got a new Prime Minister, Steve. That's weird, isn't it?
I know, that's weird. It's a change, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Change of the
guards. Do you reckon?
Go on.
Here's what I was... Do you know, if you were like Rishi Sunak and stuff and you were in there, you know, on Wednesday night, do you think you'd take
Dirty
a couple
protest.
Of pictures down?
Oh, right.
No, just take a cut. No, like, you know, you've got to... Why, don't take the pictures down. We're going to win this. Like, well, just take them down anyway.
Do you think you
just put a couple in the boxes. Start unpacking.
Like, just after the first...
All right, here's a question.
Go on.
No, just... Like a couple of days before, just because you know.
Yeah, you sort of saw the exit polls, didn't you? And you were like...
Do you reckon he had a freezer banquet? You know when you defrost the freezer and you eat everything in there? And you're like, I'll have a Magnum, some fish fingers, some chips. I reckon he must have done that. Because you know you're leaving. I'm not leaving that. Well, that ribeye steak? No way.
Yeah, definitely not leaving that for him. Yeah, I think, yeah, I definitely think there's like, I think even like, about
logging at Netflix on all the tellies. You got to do that, haven't you? You don't want Starmer coming in, looking at your watch list.
Changing your algorithm.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
Don't want that. Last thing I want.
That's the last thing I need. Yeah, I think like probably Monday, Tuesday, he's gone. Turn to his wife, he's gone. Ring Pickford's. Do you know what I mean? Like,
log out
like,
of all devices.
Log out.
Just get a quote from Pickford's.
Yeah.
Just get a quote.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Yeah. How quick does the new Prime Minister come in? Is it literally Friday morning? You, out of bed. You're just lying there in bed.
It should be like, exactly. You know, like the polls closed at exactly 10 o'clock and opened exactly. It should be exactly 7 o'clock the next morning. You need to be out. Get out now.
Is it like leaving?
He's just coming in with his two dogs. Loads of bags. Like, come on, mate. Come on. I'm trying to get the kids down here. Just trying to tell them to get out. Like, well, I haven't packed up the stuff. You better get out. And like, if there's any food in that freezer, I'm having it.
Everything in this house is now mine. It's weird, isn't it? What a weird thing to have a new house and with a new job. Very odd.
But imagine, and also, he'd probably never really been there before, so he'd be like, loads of questions. Like, how's the boiler work? You got hot tub?
Have you got a walking round?
What's the Wi-Fi like?
Yeah, you've got to like walk.
Can you get it in number 11 as well, or is that a different one? Have they got their own Wi-Fi? Like, what is it? What's the speed? Sort of speed you're getting, Rishi?
This switch here does the landing, but it's temperamental. Okay. It's temperamental.
That's so a bit weird, isn't it? Why is that there?
I don't know. What's the other one do?
Turn the light on outside. You don't need a light outside. There's a copper out there. You don't need a light outside, do you? All right, brilliant. Okay, well, aren't you? Yeah.
Do you think there was enough time? This is going back, but do you think there was enough time for Liz Truss to move everything in and back out again?
I think she was still in boxes, wasn't she? Yeah. Well, yeah. She just had the pork markets folder, all the projections of the year.
Yeah.
She'd have got that out first.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, we'll just see what happens, I guess. Well, I mean, thankfully, we're not a political radio show.
No.
So we very rarely mention politics. Pretty chilled, aren't we? We try and have a politics-free zone.
We different things, don't we? But,
well, we do, to be honest. I've got a neighbour over the road and we're like good mates. But I went to his birthday party the other week, 75th birthday party, and on his birthday cake, they'd done lots of things that he was into, hobbies and stuff, and things that he liked. And on it was like little miniature Daily Mails. A little thing of GB News, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't affect our friendship, just people think different, don't they? Just humans, aren't we? So we will see. Yeah, exactly. Let's hope it. Change is as good as a rest. Let's hope so anyway. We've got one of these.
Questions for Steve. Questions for Steve.
Okay, so this has come in from Alex. I thought I'd run this past you. Steve, what makes a city a city? I moved to Somerset from London.
They've said I
moved to Somerset from London recently, and people keep trying to convince me that Wells is a city because it has a cathedral, even though it's tiny.
Lovely cathedral as well.
Is it? Have you been to that one? Oh, yeah, you used to go down there quite a bit, didn't you?
Yeah, Wells, yeah. Lovely. Yeah. They filmed Hot Fuzz. Is it Hot Fuzz, I think, is filmed around Wells, I think?
Is that one of them? Yeah, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost. But I'm from London, so I insist it's not. I have a family tradition that it's based on. I mean, if you're
from London. It's not. That does not work. It doesn't work like that, right?
No. Just because you're from the biggest city in the country, I don't think you're able
just
to then.
Call this a city. Where's your Big Ben? Well, that's just your city. Yeah,
where's your River Thames?
Yeah, you haven't even got a River Thames. So what's your set, son?
Alex says, I have a family tradition that it's based on how many WH Smiths there are, e.g. none, that's a village, one, a town, two or more, a city.
Yeah. Okay.
What
it's
are
a
your
good
thoughts?
System, actually.
It's a good system.
I think using your system, though, a lot of train stations would be cities because there's always a couple of WH Smiths on. If it's a big train station, there'll be like two or three spread over the platforms. So, what's the definition of a city? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're going to have to go with the original one, aren't you? The cathedral, the university.
Well, it used to be cathedrals, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's no longer a requirement now, though. The cathedral.
Because Brighton and is a city now. They've got the dome, haven't they? I don't know. Wolverhampton's a city.
Wolverhampton's a city. So I remember that was one of the latest ones, wasn't it? Yeah.
It's the millennium ones, wasn't it? I think in times.
Yeah.
Of, I like the idea of it being WH Smith's based.
That
I do.
Could work.
I worry about, when loads of things from your childhood and shops and things close, you do wonder how WH Smith's is sort of holding on.
Unbelievable, isn't it? I know.
Because when you go in a high street one, they're usually like really quite badly run. You know, display in the window's not great.
Yeah.
The staff aren't really. I think the train stations are saving them, really, I do, because it's a captive audience, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where else are you going to get? Where else are you going to get your magazine, your book for the train journey?
Yeah.
But, that's a good system. What else would you wear?
There's just too many Smiths, though, isn't it? I'd go further, I think. I would say, I might say, like, something a bit more bespoke, like a John Lewis. Or a Marks and Spencer.
What, that makes you a city?
Yeah, just that feels like a big thing.
I know what
you
mean. What about a Hotel Chocolat? Like that's not a village. Yeah.
No, that's
true. It's a fancy town.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it could be a city as well.
Yeah.
John Lewis, I think, isn't there one in like Reading or somewhere though? I think it's,
well, there you go, city.
Yeah,
it's become one of my new.
Yeah, it's what's a good system. I mean, you'd have to have a think about that. What shop just says we're in a city now? I mean, if you've got Selfridges or a.
Well, I mean, if there's only two of them though, that's just like two, isn't it? It's like Manchester and London.
Yeah.
Don't think you can say Selfridges. Well, that would be
Harvey Nichols or something like that. That's not going to be.
Yeah, that's too specific. I think Marks is.
Oh, they used to be everywhere. I mean, there's a Marx's in Hounslow. That's not a city.
Okay. Right, let's have a let's put it back out to the world. Jason, okay, absoluteradio.co.uk. What makes we've got rid of cathedral now. It can't be cathedral anymore. The world's moved on.
In this new system of defining what a city is, when you look at it and go, oh, they've got two WH Smiths. This must be a city.
That makes sense. Yeah. I like Alex's system, but is there a better one? I've got another question for Steve. Steve? If you've got any questions for Steve or me, I chip in as well. You can email us, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Andy has messaged with the headline, Tipping in America. I presume that's how
Tip's how hand.
That's it. Yeah. He says, hearing you two speaking last week about your trip to New York, and Jason mentioned that he tipped the flight attendant on the plane, got me wondering how you found the tipping culture in the States. Is it as crazy as they say, where even self-checkout machines now ask if you want to leave a tip? Where else did you find yourself tipping that you wouldn't normally tip in the UK? Thanks. It is a weird culture over there, the tipping thing, isn't it?
It's everywhere, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a culture.
That's a
rickshaw
we got on. Imagine what is.
Oh, what a joke he was. He did not get a tip. In fact, I gave him less money than he asked for.
I think he'd already added a few tips.
Yeah, that was a joke.
Anyway. It is on everything, isn't it? And it's confusing.
Well, it's 20% over there. And it's basically, that's it, isn't it? That's the standard.
It is, but it comes, like, sometimes they'll give you the bill and you'll pay that on your card and then you need cash for the tip.
You need cash.
Like when we were at the Oyster Bar, that happened. We paid, and then the guy, you went to the toilet, and the guy went, I didn't have any cash. And the guy went,
yeah, of course.
Spent a lot of time shucking those bad guys. And I went, oh, sorry. He went, they had a team been very busy. And I went, I had to go out, find a cash machine, and come back.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how do I do this now?
Like servers and bartenders, basically. I mean, it is a terrible system that it isn't on the restaurant to pay their employees properly.
Staff properly.
But then again, their service is better, I think, maybe. I think they do.
Yeah, but
it is
expensive
more,
enough, isn't it, New York?
Well, that's true.
Throwing in an extra bit.
Yeah, so it is a bit odd. But no, generally, I mean, I guess taxi drivers, you sort of tip them. You've just got to have just a wedge in your pocket all the time.
Ready
the problem is, that the main thing I think, Andy, is this, right? The difference between the tipping culture in the States than the tipping culture here in the UK is that they have paper wands and we have coins. As an adult, it's okay to give somebody, you know, a couple of dollars tip if it's in if it's paper, but there's something patronising about giving somebody
a £2 coin,
and a grown person.
I mean, that's what I gave my son lost a tooth the other day, and that was what was on his pillow in the morning. That's the level.
Yeah, because you basically feel like you're going, get yourself some sweets.
Yeah, you know what I mean? £2 coin looks a little bit like a chocolate coin, doesn't it? It's that size. It looks a bit childish.
Yeah, I agree.
If it's £4.50s, that's even worse, isn't it?
Yeah.
There you go. There's £4.50.
But what are you like when it comes to...
I'm going to go to 20 here.
What are you like when it comes to tipping, Steve? Do you tip no matter what, or... this is, I'm talking about the UK here. Or do you tip if they've gone above and beyond?
No, I'll only remove the tip if something's gone wrong. Right, I will always tip. But if something particularly, you know, spectacular has gone wrong.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just, you know, they've missed a bit of the order. And, oh, sorry, I missed that bit. And then I will, rescind the tip. Maybe.
Wow, right.
But I will genuinely. It'd have to be big. It's not like, didn't I the way she looked at me? Take that off.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
See the way she looked at me then? Didn't do anything. Yeah, just take the tip off. Yeah, I'm not having that.
I definitely tip more because I'm on telly.
Well, you feel like you have to.
If I'm honest. Yeah, because I think, do you know what? I'm tipping here, yes, for the service, but mainly because not tipping.
Is that everywhere, though? Or is that, you know, like when you're in a more expensive restaurant, do you tip more?
It's a percentage game, isn't it? So I just tip what it is. But
So you tip him with like McDonald's?
That's
for Ronald.
I was in a hotel the other week, in fact, when we were doing Soccer Aid, finishing Soccer Aid, and the guy came to my room to get my luggage, brought it downstairs, I was like, right, I must give him a tip. But then the guy at the door put the luggage in the taxi.
Oh.
And I was a bit like, well, I was like, who's getting this here now?
He's done the graft, the one who's brought it down the stairs.
Yeah, that's what I think too. Yeah, it's confusing. But anyway, let us know what you think about the old tipping culture, either here or abroad or anywhere in the world. Jason at absoluteradio.co.uk. Jason
Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
We've got a bit of cruise chat, Steve. We've had bin chat in the past.
Cruise chat.
Cruise chat.
Yeah, cruise chat.
Hashtag cruise chat. Could be a new feature, we never know. For people who are not aware, we went on a cruise the other week from New York back to Southampton, 8 days at sea.
Yeah.
I was doing some gigs out there and Steve was my plus one.
I was just literally just drinking tea and walking backwards and forwards down the deck.
It was lovely. We had a lovely time. And I asked you just about cruises because you've never been on one. I've only ever been on, my second, and leaving that, the first one I went on only went on from Southampton to Liverpool, so it doesn't really count. Janet says, morning, Jason and Steve. I went on a holiday to Canada in 2010, which included an Alaskan cruise. We had to cross into USA from Canada at the Washington border. As it was a public holiday in the US, the borders were extremely busy. 5 hours we sat on the coach and we weren't allowed to get off as we were at a border. To cut a long story short, we missed the ship.
Oh no.
Oh my goodness. Dear. That's because I did think that. Well, you know, when I was having that passport problem on the way out, like, if you miss the ship, that's it. It's not like you can get the next flight. You can't get the next ship.
They're not as regular, are they? It's back in 8 days or something like that, yeah.
So they missed the ship. So the tour company had to fly us up to Juneau to meet the ship. To be honest, I think we got the better deal as the scenery from the plane was stunning. We haven't done a cruise since. They got done. Enjoy it. And another cruise story from Lee, who says, hi lads, long time listener from Glasgow here. Last week Jason asked listeners about their cruise experiences, of which I'd like to share mine. One cruise I went on, the band Bucks Fizz were performing.
Oh, that sounds good. Which one though? I mean, who knows anymore?
I met the lead singer Bobby G in the restaurant half an hour before the gig and asked him if he'd dedicate a song to my then new wife. It was our honeymoon. Smiling, he happily obliged. I reached across the table to shake his hand and knocked over a glass of wine onto his lap. The look on his face was priceless. I then had to avoid him every day for the rest of the week. Anyone who's been on a cruise knows this is virtually impossible. There's no hiding places on a ship.
No.
It was unbelievably awkward.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's still dedicating the song. Lap.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you just go, oh, sorry about that, mate. Yeah, just trying to look as if you don't care less. If you want to see some more, just rip his trousers off.
Rip his trousers off. Yeah, exactly. Easy.
Surely that's why he was laughing so much. He thought he's going to rip. He knows he's a Velcro. He's going to rip these off. Oh, sorry, mate. I thought they were Velcro. Just like dragging him around the floor. Sausage, mate. Honestly, I thought that was Velcro. I thought it was. I'm really sorry. I can only apologise.
Oh, yeah. He's right, though. You can't avoid people. You do see the same people, don't you?
That's it. Yeah, but not normally the bloke out of Bucks Fizz.
No.
I mean,
no,
you think he'd like just stay in his room a bit or something. I don't know.
Nice.
Wi-Fi's awful, though, isn't it? So what are you going to do?
Also, the buffet has a strange pull, doesn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what walk of life you're from, what restaurant you're booked into.
It doesn't matter.
If you're walking through there at 11 o'clock and there's cream tea and scones there, you're like, oh, go on.
I'm going to smash that buffet. Yeah, exactly. So, I'd love you to send me more of your... And also, we're headed into holiday season as well. So any holiday misfortunes, any holiday nightmares, disasters, feel free to throw them in. jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. There's a story here in the paper, Steve, that is giving me like cringe effect. Mm. You know, that sort of like, okay. Oh, it's awful.
What is it?
Yeah. It says a woman ends up on the same flight as her boss after taking a sick day. A mortified woman ended up on the same plane as her boss after taking a sick day to catch a flight. Grace, who's a content creator with freelance, blah, 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 don't matter what she does, splits her time.
Anyway. Okay, good.
No, exactly. Instead of telling the company she had a flight to catch and couldn't work that day, Grace said she had an appointment with the doctor because she was sick. It was only after she boarded a flight.
Keep it specific as well. Just keep it vague as well, because no one's going to question that, are they? I've got a doctor's appointment.
Absolutely not.
Oh, yeah.
It was only after she boarded a flight and opened her messages to see a picture of her manager who had strategically taken a selfie on the very same plane with herself visible in the background. Grace's video of the event went viral on TikTok, because it did. Users instantly rushed to the comments to share how they would handle the situation. One writing, "I'd cry like a baby and give my resignation letter." But Grace told Newsweek, "Long story short, I was waiting in the line and then I saw a familiar face coming to me, which called my name." She explained how her boss frequently flies to Bali. When he noticed her, he sarcastically said, "Oh, on the way to the doctor's." Ha 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 ha. Despite...
Yeah, doctor's is abroad, isn't it? The doctor's
exactly.
is abroad.
It's actually quicker to get an appointment in Bali than it is waiting for a doctor here in the UK. Despite being horrified that her plans had been foiled, she told the outlet that they both had a good old laugh together. Well, that's good, because that could have gone another way, couldn't it?
Yeah, that could have gone another way.
But, what would you do?
I would pretend that I'm a doppelganger.
100% doppelganger. I was going to say doppelganger.
As soon as I see them, I'd go, right, from now on, I'm South African. And then they come over and go, "Oh my God, what are you on this plane?" Go, "What am I doing on what flight?" And then go, "Oh, I thought you were..." "No, I get this kid all the time." And I would just suddenly, and I'd give myself a name. I'd be called David Eggham. David Eggham. Mum, David Eggham. And I would not answer anything.
Full
backstory.
"Can I see your
passport?" "No, you cannot see my passport, sir." "Yeah, I've got a..."
Why is it blue on the outside like Britain? The same as South Africa.
Because part of the... I've dual nationality, bro. Dual nationality.
Bro.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I mean this seems not the best
risk.
Way. Yeah. I mean,
it's
you've
a
got
risk.
On the spot, aren't you?
Also, if you're sat near them,
but
for the whole flight...
Play the long game.
You're ordering drinks. Yeah. You're talking to the
staff.
And
you get water. Yeah, just the whole day.
The whole flight. Every phone call. What if somebody rings you just before you get on the flight? You've got to take that phone, and then your friends are on the other end and go, "Why are you talking like that?"
"I just found this phone. It's not my phone. I found this phone."
Well, I think it's a good plan.
The picture on the phone looks like me. That's why I thought it was my phone, bro. But it's not my phone. It's another guy called Steve. What's his name again? Steve somebody. Not me. I'm David. David Eggham.
You know well to remember your name then. I'd forgot.
Yeah, I did.
No, I think that's a good plan. I was going to go doppelganger myself in a mad panic. So fair play.
Yeah. Hashtag David Eggham.
Do you think we're good at small talk in this country, Steve?
Well, we're famed for it, aren't we? Chatting about the weather and you know, which road you took to get to a certain barbecue.
Yeah, destination, yeah. Well, apparently, the old small talk is no longer a jewel in our nation's crown. 88% of Britons find it difficult or awkward to chat to strangers, a survey has found.
Oh, really?
Although, if they're asking on a survey, surely they were the people who stopped in the street to answer a survey. So
yeah, maybe this is the start of the rot, really.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, getting doorstepped about small talk.
Yeah. A third of people went as far to say that small talk is one of the worst things ever, while 9 in 10, the equivalent of 60 million Brits, say that it can be painful. The main concerns revolve around never knowing what to speak about, feeling self-conscious, right, and worrying about saying something stupid. 4 in 10 of us pretended not to see someone we knew on the street to avoid any small talk. The survey of 2,000 Brits was commissioned by First Bus and found that, on average, Brits can make small talk for 7 minutes before a conversation dries up, whether it's about our go-to topics, cost of living, holiday plans, football, what's on a telly. You need something to focus on, don't you, when it comes to small talk?
Yeah.
You know, weather, I reckon.
That's why the weather's always, because it's changeable, and that's good. You can go,
what subjects would you avoid when talking small talk?
Well, you try and avoid politics, don't you?
There's a lad
I speak to at school pickup, and the weather's always a big, because, you know, he'll sometimes be wearing shorts and he's not a shorts guy, and I go, oh, the weather's picked up, oh, the weather's turned. So that's, I've only got 5 minutes before the kids come out, so I stick to that. But a few days ago, the looming elections, then he started venturing into that. I thought, I've only got 5 minutes here, and also I don't want to find out who you're backing.
Yeah, I know.
Prejudice my view of you in the future. So that's why you try and stay away from it. Small talk is harmless talk as well, isn't it? You know, you don't want any views on whatever you political or Brexit or anything, because that's not.
Yeah,
it's not. Change, couldn't it?
Well, the top subjects for small talk. I'll give you the top.
Weather's top, surely.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's not top. Third place, the weather.
Really? After, fortunes, isn't it? I don't know where.
I know. What could be the two? I know. I'll give you the one. I'll give you the couple.
Right, going over to the Edge family. You can steal here.
Yeah. The two below it are hobbies and work. So that's 4 and 5, hobbies and work.
Wow.
3 is weather.
Hobbies, work and weather. So the next one would be...
What do you reckon?
Small talk. That's them, isn't it? That's all of them.
Yeah, but what's the second one? It is pretty obvious, actually, when the second one.
Lunch? Food?
No, food's not actually
breakfast.
There. Entertainment. What was on the telly last night? What were you...
All right, did you watch that programme last night?
Yeah, so that's up there. The number one topic, though, is local area. Which actually does ring true as well. Because if you think about the local area, just like your neighbourhood.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, of course it is, yeah, yeah. Do you hear about that accident that was on the last week? That sort of thing.
Yeah, you see the...
Potholes are mad around here, aren't they?
Yeah. The laundrette's closing. You know what I mean? It's all that, isn't it? So.
Yeah. It's that new restaurant that's up, Sri Lankan restaurant, just under up the front. It's meant to be good.
That's it. So I can see that. The small talk to avoid I'll give you the top five again. Appearance. I don't know
what
that
is.
This is to avoid. Appearance. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Well, so you just turn up and go, morning. Well, you look like you've been dragged through a bush today. What's happening there? That's not small talk, is it?
That's just an insult, yeah. Death.
Yeah.
But again, that's an age thing, because I remember my nana. That was definitely in the top three of stuff she'd talk about.
I remember my nanny used to read the local paper with the obituaries and find out that somebody she knew 40 years ago had died and talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, my nana would...
She's finally died.
My nana would... I reckon one in every four conversations would start off with her going, I'm the only one left now. Like, that would just be the start of a conversation. Yeah. I'm the only one now. And then off we'd go. So death's up there. Sex, that would be a weird thing to have small talk about just in the street.
Yeah, just morning, you're right. Were you busy last night? Was I busy last night?
Crikey, I'm surprised you didn't hear us.
No, no, mate, no, no. I'm surprised I don't walk.
I wouldn't call it small talk, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink. Politics and religion, they've just grouped that in. as two, which is fair enough because it can be divisive. But number one, Steve, is finances.
Okay, yeah. You don't want people to know about that, do you?
Yeah, it's quite a personal thing, isn't it? Finances. So there you go. So the hot topic.
I'm just trying to imagine if you bumped into somebody. You're all right, not bad. Yeah, winning me overdraft last night. You'd be like, oh.
Yeah,
HMRC. They're going to ask you for money.
HMRC are on my case. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Awkward. So, anyway,
I've ordered the last 3 years of my books. Anyway, I've got to shoot off, mate. Got to get the kids.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
You know, every so often, Steve, you post something on Twitter, Facebook, whatever it is, and.
We're never going to call it X, are we?
I'm never going to call it X. And the
no
mad
one
thing
is. No one's ever going to.
Even when you search for Twitter online, it still comes up. So there's no need for it.
X, formerly Twitter. No one says X. Leave
doesn't
it.
Doesn't make any sense.
Elon.
I know. It's just so annoying.
Anyway, sorry, when you post something on there,
although,
again.
As a side issue, the one thing that is annoying on Twitter is that they've now... muted like your likes, so you can't see what someone's liked.
Have they?
Yes, you can, I know. So I can't. I'm trying to work out whether because that I use that as a bit of a. I've seen your message. Thanks very much. Do you mean I just like it and move on? I just wonder if people can still see it. But anyway, I don't know. Anyway, I posted something the other day, and it just went like a bit mad on X. Yeah, like hundreds of thousands of views, like probably the most responses I've had for something for a very long time. And it was something pretty basic. All I said was this. I said, show me a man who says he hasn't had a wee in his own back garden and I'll show you a liar.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Yeah,
it's pretty straightforward, but it really captured people's imagination, Steve.
What was it? If people were just... It was like a confessional. They were happy to go.
I think a lot of people were
finally.
The relief of it. Some fellas were a bit like, why are you giving away our secrets? Some people tried to make it like, Reverend Richard Coles said, I've actually had a wee in your back garden, Jason, which I thought.
Oh, that's better because I would imagine his back garden would be a graveyard. So that's probably better.
Yeah, that's true. But why is that true? What do you reckon the science, the evolution of
that is? So you're saying what's your rationale? Explain it to me.
Right,
you're in the garden.
So for me, no, I could be in the kitchen, to be honest, Steve. And
So you're closer to the toilet in the kitchen, aren't you?
Yeah, but like I would say I've still got to go through like two doors.
Yeah. And so the back doors are open. It's a nice sunny day.
Back doors open. Yeah, no, not in the day. It was mostly at night, I think. I don't think I've done it in the day.
Yeah, okay.
Certainly not in front of anybody.
At night?
But, just popped out.
Okay. Yeah.
And just had a little wee. Yeah. A bush wee, my son calls
Whereabouts did you go? Just in a bush? Against a tree?
Just on the grass in the corner.
And why did you not go to the toilet? Why did you
I don't
that
know.
Better?
That's what I'm trying to work out. What is the... The evolution behind it. Us marking our territory?
Could be. My rationale for doing it, I'm out there, occasionally doing the shed, mowing the lawn or something.
Yeah.
We have quite a big problem with, there's a lot of foxes come through our garden, a lot of things chew up in the morning. And, and somebody told me once, if you wee in your garden, the scent scares them off. Now, I've never done any research into it. I've never looked into it.
A lot of people did say this.
Whenever I do wee in the garden, when I do wee in the garden, I go, just do me a bit for the safety of the foxes and the washing line. That's what I'm doing. I think I'm doing a good thing. I mean, if someone saw me out of a window, they wouldn't think I was doing a good thing. But I've rationalised it in my own head that I'm some sort of eco-warrior.
Well, talking of eco-warriors, Steve, one of the things that came up was the uric acid from urine actually speeds up the compost process. So... If you're going to wee anywhere,
so if you've got a compost bin,
you should have a wee on the compost heap.
Yeah. Is anyone? Yeah. But if you had a compost heap, that would be irrational. You go, I'm just speeding up the composting process. What's the matter with you? I'm not a monster.
Well, I've got to say, a lot of people messaged.
Is it mainly men, or is it?
It's pretty much 95% men. There was a couple of women got involved, but it was mainly men. Jay Rad said, I've done it, but I live on the top floor of an apartment block. It's actually quite frowned upon. Which
To get it, because, I mean, if the wind's blowing, isn't it, you could go anywhere, couldn't it? But if you've got to get it in the garden, unless he's got a target drawn down there, who knows?
Yeah, it's... anyway, I don't want to keep talking about it, but it was just one of those weird things that, like... That just seemed to, you know, every so often as a comic, you say an observation that you think, oh, is anyone going to go with this? And then everybody goes with it. You're like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, I can understand it happening when you're out there. That's what I do. But yours is weird because you're in the kitchen. You seek it out. You go outside.
Yeah, I've gone outside specifically.
I don't know why you've done that. That's dubious.
It's time to play a bit of this. Hit me with your best fact. Fire away! All right. So if you want to play Hit Me With Your Best Facts, all you've got to do is email me your best facts to jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Steve, what sort of facts are we looking for?
We're looking for a fact that just blows our minds, basically.
Blows our minds.
We didn't know anything about. We want to know more about, you know, and we, like I said, we always like if there's a Wimbledon fact. You know, we got Wimbledon on there, haven't we? So that Wimbledon facts would be good.
Makes sense.
So anything like that.
Right, let's crack on then. We've got Sally who says, did you know that carpenter ants perform surgery on their injured nestmates? They can diagnose wounds and treat them by either chewing the injured leg off or at the hip or clean wounds, whatever is best for survival of the injured ants. I mean... To go from perform surgery to chewing off the injured leg, I think it's quite a stretch, isn't it?
But are you an actual doctor? Sorry, I know I'm doing. I'm just going to chew your leg off. You sure?
Yeah. That's...
What's funny is I'd never heard of carpenter ants before this week.
Oh, really?
Had you heard of carpenter ants?
I've never heard of them, though.
No, we've got a Velux window in our sort of back bit of our front, and there was some ants on it. And I was like, where are these coming from? And then I Googled it, and he said, oh, they live in the roof space. They're called carpenter ants. And I was like, and then you've just given me a carpenter ants fact.
No way.
I want to know how to get rid of them, not how they operate on each other.
Yeah. Why are they called carpenter ants?
I think because they something to do with wood, mustn't it? They go around
They're not
wood
like knocking up
or
wardrobes
like that.
And that.
Yeah, they can knock up a wardrobe. They do like a little tiny, well, they do a little operating table.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And just work on each other.
They're injured mates. It's pretty good. Pretty good, the old carpenter ant. Tucker's message says, completely irresponsible waxwing birds tend to eat fermented fruit and then lie drunk on the sidewalks. Wise passerbys collect them and put them in safe place until they sober up.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Waxwing birds just
like
getting
hammered.
Just
a drunk bird at the side of the road and they just sort of pick them up and go, come on, let's get you home.
Well, I remember...
You go home.
Yeah, shut up. Yeah, I remember reading that about the old... seagulls down in Kent because during flying ant day they eat the flying ants and there's like a whatever's in it.
Oh, they get drunk
as
on
like
ants.
Yeah, they get drunk on like hammered on ants, I imagine.
You drunk, mate? Cool. Oh, I think I've had a bad ant. Oh, I think I've had a bad ant.
my ant's been spiked.
Somebody spiked me ant. Someone ant in me ant.
the last thing you want is a cocky seagull.
Drunk seagull.
I mean, they're already a nightmare.
Enough, aren't they?
They're a nightmare when they're
sober. I feel
sober.
Like they're always they've always had a couple. I feel like they've always had a couple.
Definitely.
You know, they're definitely. Always a little
dive bombing
chips, have you?
Pensioners for chips,
don't
care, do they? And we've got James who says 50% of flights taken by men aged between 20 to 45 are for stag do's.
Between 20 to 45, 50% of their flights are for stag do's. Probably about right, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a pretty impressive number, though, isn't it? 50%. Crikey.
But what, if you're not going, you know, most people, the average person, you're not going abroad for work.
It's the only, other time that you go abroad, isn't it?
You go on holiday with your family or, you know.
Holidays and stag do's. Yeah, makes sense. A couple of Beatles facts here, Steve.
The band or the
band? Yeah, well, it could be. The way it's going, but no, these are the band. Andrew tells us that despite it being said that Ringo Starr wasn't even the best drummer in the Beatles, it's a little known.
Michael Fenton Stevens said it, apparently, didn't he?
Is he claiming it?
Somebody's joke from KYTV or something.
Yeah,
it's not
that's
a real.
Right.
He never said
it's not
it.
A real quote. No, No. It's a little known fact that after the band broke up, he was the first member to have a number one single and album.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. The first
and you know,
one.
If you speak to drummers, he is a good drummer. People think he is a very good drummer. So
yeah, of course. He's in the Beatles.
Showing off.
Yeah, cool. Yeah,
but he's steady. You know, something like Come Together, the fills he's doing on that. He's a good drummer. It's
of course
just,
he's a good drummer.
It'd be awful to be, you know, a Beatle in a big massive band and everybody's trying to go, he's not an England drummer.
I know.
After all that, he is.
Tina tells us that Sir Paul McCartney was paid £1 for his 2012 Olympic opening ceremony performance.
Wasn't that bad, was it?
I don't think that was after the event. I think that was agreed.
Yeah.
It was obviously
right.
Like a...
We've watched it. Not mad on it. Here's a quid.
Get yourself some sweets.
Yes. It's, vegetarian sweets. Nothing with animal products. Really.
I imagine it was some sort of contractual thing, wasn't it? I've had that before.
Yeah, they have to pay him something.
They've
got
to pay you something.
To do it.
Yeah, so that's probably what that was. AJ has said, in Spain, farmers are known to graft orange trees onto lemon trees. Then you get one tree bearing both fruits. This is because lemon trees need a lot less water and generally take care of the orange tree.
Oh, that's very clever, isn't it?
Yeah, so you can sort of water them both and then it's enough. I like that. That's quite clever.
It's confusing that, isn't it? Because, you know, obviously we don't have those sort of trees here.
No.
But you know when you see like a young lemon, it looks like a lime?
Yes.
You know, because it hasn't it hasn't gone green yet. It's still green.
Yeah.
Whereas if you saw that and you go, oh, look, it's a lemon tree. No, it's an orange tree. And you'd both be right. That would be confusing.
Freak, you're right.
Well, maybe it's saying it's a lime tree as well at some point because it's supposed to be green. So, I mean, it's all over the place. Grapefruit.
Lee says, Mystic Meg's Gothic chair was designed and made by Adele's mum.
This is good.
That's a good one.
I don't remember the Gothic chair, but I remember her look was very.
Yeah, you remember the photo. She's sat in a chair.
I thought it was sort of in the sort of quite close up in the face. I don't remember.
I think there's like a. Is she in
Adele's
purple
mom.
Or something?
Well, she would did what did Adele's mum was she did she do that? Is that a job? Was she like some sort of furniture designer? For,
yeah, she must have been.
But. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought she was just like
good.
I don't know.
I like that. It's a good fact. A good, solid fact that I love it. And this one from James. Did you know since we won the World Cup in 1966, there was an England men's manager that was in charge for over 50 games but never managed England at Wembley?
The same person?
Yeah, since we won the World
Cup. There was one manager who...
It was an England men's manager that was in charge for over 50 games but never managed England at Wembley.
Well, that must have been when Wembley was being rebuilt, wasn't it? But, I mean...
So who would that be then? But 50 games?
That's a lot, isn't it? That's like... Yeah, because over the friendlies...
But then that's... Yeah, but that's still... Who could that... Venables? Could that be?
No, it's...
What about...
Bjorn Eriksson?
Could be Ericsson. Yeah, well, that would have been around the right. That would have been around that time, wouldn't it?
It's sort of two. They when did it happen again? About 2007, something like that. 2003. Yeah. It was. I remember the playoff final. Wolves playoff final was in Cardiff, so there was no Wembley then.
That's right.
So I think it feel like it opened about 2007. Something like that.
Yeah. Maybe probably is Ericsson then. It's a good fact, though. It's a good fact. Very good. Keep them coming in. We love a sporting fact, especially over the next week or so with the Euros while we're still clinging on.
Well, we don't know, do we?
I forgot we pre-recorded.
We could have gone out last night or we could be, we're going to win it.
We don't know.
It could go either way.
Forgot about that. Yeah, we're recording this Friday, so we've got all that to come. And Neil tells us that there is a type of honeybee that can only be found in Scotland.
Okay.
But ain't you want my honey? I wonder if it's like that, like...
Yeah.
Sort of... You wouldn't take honey
Scottish.
Off it.
Scottish.
Yeah, just like...
Yeah.
But ain't...
It's just...
You want my honey, do you mean?
I bet it's one of them fancy toilets. You know, fancy, like, Japanese toilets that Scottish people
The Scots, they love a Japanese toilet.
What is
they
that?
They love it.
How is that a thing? It's mad, isn't it? They've all
mad.
Got them.
So many have got them. Oh. Open up, warm seat, clean.
Have you seen my toilet? Yeah, everyone's got one, mate.
Yeah. fancy. Who knew? Mad that. Fred Flintstone's Yabba Dabba Doo catchphrase was inspired by a Brill Cream advert.
Oh, right.
Apparently. Really? Yabba Dabba Doo.
Scooby Dooby Doo.
You're thinking of Scooby
Dooby Doo is Frank Sinatra, isn't it?
Right. Fred Flintstone's Yabba Dabba Doo is from a Brill Cream advert.
Yabba Dabba Doo. Could be.
Could be the both.
So it's inspired by a Brill Cream.
And Kate gives us our last fact of the week. The Angel of the North contains enough steel to make 16 double-decker buses. That's good. Right. It's 20 metres high and is anchored the same distance underground. So it's actually 40 metres in total. That's good.
Is it full of Middlesbrough shirts?
Well, like
just
Wembley.
When they built it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I'm into that. We've had a lot of good facts this morning. I'll rattle through the ones we've got and then we will pick our fave. So let's cast our minds back. Sally told us about carpenter ants performing surgery on their nest mates. Tuck told us about the waxwing birds that eats fermented fruit and gets absolutely hammered. 50% of flights taken by men between 20 and 45 are for stag doos, according to James. Ringo Starr was the first of the Beatles to have a number one single and album. Paul McCartney was paid £1 for his 2012 Olympic opening ceremony performance. In Spain, Spanish farmers are known to graft orange trees onto lemon trees. Mystic Meg's chair was designed by Adele's mum. There's an England manager who was in charge for over 50 games but never managed England at Wembley. There's a type of honeybee that can only be found in Scotland. Yabba Dabba Doo, Fred Flintstone's catchphrase, is from a Brill Cream advert. And the Angel of the North has enough steel in it to make 16 double-decker buses. So, solid facts all round, Steve.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I mean, for me, it's Adele's mum made Mystic Meg's chair because I don't understand that. I love it. You can get to that via Adele, which is quite easy, and horoscopes generally. I think it's a good. I want to know more. I mean, I want to know about the Yabba Dabba Doo, but I do want to know more about Adele's mum making a chair for Mystic Meg.
I've got to say, even though we sort of worked it out, I think the one I'm going to use this weekend, with the England match being on and the Euros being on, is the England men's manager.
The football.
Yeah, I just think it's one you can slip in. You know, we were talking about small talk. It's a good one for small talk, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because that's, what about
it's,
Venables?
It's
do you know what I mean? It's a good 5 or 6 minutes. We do like it topical, don't we?
Yeah. And it enhances the small talk, which apparently we're bad at, and
we're trying to fix
that. Get their small talk wings back.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I'm going to go with James on this one, Steve.
Go for it.
We're happy with that. So James is our winner, who tells us that since we won the World Cup, there was an England men's manager that was in charge for over 50 games but never managed England at Wembley. Who could that be? If you've got a fact and you want to join in next week and win a prize, all you've got to do is email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Thanks for joining us this morning here on Absolute Radio. Steve, what you got planned the rest of the day, rest of the week?
I've got a bit more shed. I was still doing the shed, started painting the shed yesterday, and then it started raining, so I won't be doing that for a bit. Just finishing that, really, doing a bit of that and a bit
cracking
of play reading tone this late this week. So bits and bobs.
That's exciting. What have I got? I'm off to Wimbledon later on today. I'm gonna watch a bit of the. Yeah, I'm a tennis guy, aren't I? Tennis guy.
Yeah, not like Dave Grohl. He's not a tennis guy.
Yeah, I've been angling for like an invite for ages. You can't get tickets, so. Dave Grohl can because he's a legend. And as I watch, what's funny is sometimes my wife's going, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm looking through the Daily Mail of people who've been obviously invited for Nout to Wimbledon."
Yeah.
And most people I go, "Yeah, fair enough. David Attenborough, fair enough." Yeah. And then every so often I go, "Him? How's he
also,
got there
when
before
you see
me?"
Them. You know, you sometimes see them during a game and they're not even watching. Like, I didn't even want to be there.
Yeah, it's well annoying. well annoyed. But I'm very excited about that. And then I'm in London for a couple of days this week as well because I've got Something Rotten sort of costume fittings, which is the new musical I'm doing at Drury Lane in August. And then next Saturday night, big one, up in Blackpool is the Blackpool Comedy Festival, which we're trying to get off the ground. And we're doing a big gala night at the Winter Gardens. I'm hosting. And we've got Kiri Pritchard-McLean, who's a very funny comic. Paul Sinner, who you might know from The Chase, the Cinnaman. And headlining that night is Dara O'Brien as well. So come along, come and support Blackpool's Comedy Festival. If you're up in the Northwest and you fancy a great night out in a great town, it'd be lovely to see you. Have a lovely week, and we'll see you same place, same time here on Absolute Radio.